Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Get Into It with Gila. I'm really excited to put out this episode after a few weeks of taking a podcast hiatus. A lot going on here in the summer, and I really enjoyed this episode with Naima Bluth. Naima Bluth lives locally a few blocks away from me, and she has a clothing store called Modest Necessities. And check out her website to see what it's all about, and you'll definitely hear more about it in this episode. But basically our main focus was to understand that like every single thing, let's say with whether it's within Judaism or even with intuitive eating, is like a means to an end. So when Naima talks about how she has this clothing store and how it's like meant to clothe people and to feel beautiful in your clothes, it's not for the sake of just feeling beautiful. It's for the sake of tznius, modesty. And modesty doesn't just mean, you know, that word modesty. Modesty means self-respect and dignity. I know we all are a little cringy with the word tznius, so I get that. But if we really could like remove those negative layers, there's really so much beauty in it, to the fact that we like in a way cover up certain parts of our body so that our personality and our depth shines through more than just the way that our body looks. And that is so much in line with my message as a dietitian and an intuitive eating counselor. I actually split this episode into two because I felt like the beginning half we were focusing on Naima's story and how she got to where she was, where she is now as an entrepreneur, which I find fascinating. And I always feel like it precedes the actual point of the episode, because there's so much we can learn from each person. And of course, that is how the story unfolds, which is like a few steps before the actual bridge between what my guest does and how it connects with intuitive eating, because I always like to show like a little bit of a different angle of just intuitive eating. So this first half, we're talking more about Naima's journey to where she is today. And the next half is going to be more about how modesty is so much more than just modesty, and how focusing on not just the way that our body looks is like so multidimensional. So I really hope that you'll enjoy this episode. I have another episode coming out soon with a dietitian who specializes with PCOS, polycystic ovarian ovary syndrome, which a lot of people have been asking me about. So please stay tuned. And if you like what you hear here today, please check out all my other episodes. I have over 100 episodes. A lot of them are on YouTube as well. You could check out my website, www.gilaglassberg.com. You could watch many videos, read some blog posts, and you could sign up for a free 20-minute consultation with me to learn about intuitive eating and learn my approach and get to know me a little bit and check that we're a good fit and we could get started working together, whether it's one-on-one or in a group setting. So check out my website, www.gilaglassberg.com. And without further ado, let's get to the episode. Hi, everyone, and welcome to my podcast, Get Into It with Gila. I know you're going to love the content here because you will gain inspiration, powerful tools and insights, and valuable knowledge. If you want more of this, please visit my website at www.gilaglassberg.com or visit me on Instagram at Gila Glassberg. I'm Gila Glassberg, a registered dietitian and intuitive eating counselor. I've come to realize by counseling many, many women that this work is much deeper and greater than food and body image. It's the bigger picture challenges we face of love, belonging, acceptance, what our true values and goals are, noticing them, addressing them, and gaining skills to move forward. If you have been struggling with what your life's purpose is, or you just feel stuck in general and don't know what's holding you back, this podcast will enlighten and inspire you to take action and move forward. This podcast is about other women in the 21st century who feel that losing weight will fix all their problems or somehow meet their unmet needs. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Get Into It with Gila. I'm Gila Glassberg, your host, registered dietitian and certified intuitive eating counselor. And today I have Naima Bluth. Hi, Naima.
Hey.
How are you?
Baruch Hashem. How are you? It's so nice to be here.
Yes. I'm so happy that you came on. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Okay. So tell the listeners a little bit about yourself. Where do you live and what do you do?
Okay, so I live on Long Island and I am a mompreneur, I like to call myself.
I like that.
Because it really does, encapsulate like my being, where I have a business, I run a business, I started on my own, but I'm also a mother and a wife and run a family and a home. And I try to, you know, kind of fuse the two together to have a balanced life in terms of both of them. And
I understand that.
Yeah, 100%. So where should I start?
What business did you start? Tell us about your business.
Okay, so I'm actually a retired, I'll call myself a retired speech and language pathologist. I worked
Really?
at, yes.
Cool.
I got my master's in speech from Adelphi University, and I practiced speech for about 10, a little bit over 10 years. And then into my career, I realized that even though I was working mostly in the capacity of like part-time, because I really wanted to raise my family, I had little kids, I had babies, I realized that it was still really difficult to do that because I was on someone else's time. I had to follow a specific schedule. I had to, if I was working in a school, I had to be there really early in the morning and come back later, things like that. And if I had home care cases, also like I was on very tight schedules and think and I had to get nannies or babysitters to watch my kids. It really wasn't working for me in terms of a balanced home and work life. But also, in addition to that, I felt like because I give my all to everything that I do, I felt like I was really giving all my mental and emotional energy to my clients and not to my children. Like when I would come home, I would just be exhausted and just be like, go play, you know? So it really wasn't working for me. So I brainstormed to see how I could really be home more and just be around more. But still also bring in an income, you know. I mean, obviously in this day and age, that's really necessary for a lot of women to also bring in the income. So the truth of the matter is that before I started grad school, before I became a speech therapist, like when I was deciding what career I wanted to do, I actually wanted to go into business. I wanted to get my degree in business, and I was convinced otherwise by the parties that be. I'll leave that anonymous. Because the truth is, and I understand why, it's kind of like a broad field, you know. More speech and language pathology is more of a niche, and it's more of a direct field, and there's parameters of what, you know, you could do a million different things and work with a million different populations, but still there's like a road to, you know, you go to grad school, then you get a job in whatever field you want. With business, it's more open. You could be administrative, you could start your own, you could work for someone else, you could, like, there's just an, you know, there's no set salary, which I happen to love because I feel like there's no ceiling. You know, someone else, kind of like a more like square type of mentality is like, there's no set salary. So that means that it's, you know, more open. So you don't know if you'll get a salary, which I knew I would. But in any case, so I understood. And I did go that safer route and I actually loved it. But I told you, because of the lack of balance, I decided to start a business. And so my husband, so I'm the creative and I always have ideas. I'm full of ideas. I think of ideas all the time. And they could be outlandish ideas, but they're still ideas. And sometimes I actually follow through with them and sometimes they just stay in my brain. And I would run a lot of ideas when I wanted to start a business, I would run all these ideas by my husband. And this was going to be in addition to doing speech, but just like reducing my hours. I was doing home care. So the plan was I was going to reduce my hours so I could be home with my baby or just be on maternity leave for longer and start this business. And at that time, actually, I was having my third child and we were buying a house. So it was really a chaotic time, but
This
I
sounds very
actually
similar to my story, by the way.
really. That's really interesting. The truth is that I've heard a lot of, we probably have a lot of things in common, similarity from the times that we've spoken to each other. I realize that. And creatives and people with these type of personalities, like we kind of, I don't know, thrive on chaos to a certain degree. Like it's like we need a challenge, we need action, you know.
We need
So
change. The
we
structure
need
is like kills
change.
us. Yeah,
Yes,
totally.
100%. So I was like, all these things were going on, and I'm like, yes, you know, like. This is gonna be like, this is exciting. This is excitement. This is what gets me like riled up. This is what makes me tick. And I said, okay, let's start this business. And I was running these ideas by my husband. He's like, no. Like, he's very just responsible
Practical by the
and right, and down to earth. And like, he's never in La La Land. You know, it's always like, okay, by the
crunch the
numbers.
numbers, yeah.
Exactly, right? No. Then I tell him, and remember, I was pregnant at the time. So a lot of things, like fitting wise, you know, it was like difficult to just get dressed. It was the summertime. And I wanted to wear like short, th short sleeve things, but then be covered by my elbows. So shells were like, this was like at the height of shells. Okay. Shells were like the thing. And I went to a store and I got, but you don't want to wear a whole shell when you're pregnant. You want, there's a thing called like a cropped shell that ends right after the bust. And so like your whole stomach is just kind of free. And like, if you're wearing a loose shirt, it's like airy, you know, but you're just covered just on top and the sleeves. So I bought this shell. I'm like, wow, this is a really good like product, you know, but happened to be that that brand of shells got pilly after like two times of wearing it. I spent a lot because it was like specifically maternity, you know, like I bought it in a maternity store. I don't know. I spent like $50 on this little like t-shirt thing and it got pilly and I was really disappointed. And I was, this is the same time that I'm thinking of like a business idea, you know? And I saw my neighbor, we had a carpool. I saw my neighbor had a shell on that really looked like so good and so like not pilly, and it looked like silky fabric, but it was really cotton, all these things.
I'm just laughing because of the carpool, the things we learn in carpool.
Right? Yeah. Right? 100%.
Totally.
So then, you know, I was asking her about it, and I'm really like an extrovert, and I'm really, and I never mind putting myself out there and asking questions and making connections and getting a no or having the door slammed in my face. Like, I'm totally fine with all that stuff. Wow. So I just, you know, reached out, made all these connections, started calling people, started speaking to people, whatever. And I launched my shelf, and my husband said yes about the shells only because we walked down Main Street. It was Shabbos. We were living in Queens at the time. We walked down Main Street. I said to him, cause he's like, what is a shell? I said, okay, you're going to count how many people are wearing shells now, because I'm telling you, this is a very hot product. And the product that I bought was like really not good quality. I'm going to sell good quality shells. There's a shell. She's wearing a shell. She's wearing a shell. Every single person was wearing a shell. And so my husband agreed to the business. I launched the business, out of one small wooden bookcase. Like, that's where I kept my inventory. That was the whole business I started. And Baruch Hashem, I'll tell you, like, if you have the type of personality that's just an entrepreneur at heart, which I am, like, mm-hmm. I am just, you just push through, you don't care about anything. You just use all your kayach and your kishkas to like, do it, make it happen, you know, even if there's slow growth in the beginning, or if it happens to happen that there was fast growth in the beginning. But anyways, long story short, then throughout the years, throughout making connections and just seeing different things, I expanded my business to include like a full line of tsnias clothing for girls.
Okay. Amazing. Okay. Okay. So that's your business, but I want to go back if that's okay. So first, these are my questions. When you were deciding between speech and business.
Originally before. Yeah.
Did you already know about your like creative entrepreneurial spirit? Was there any like entrepreneurs in your family, or that you were like, okay, like business, I get why business isn't practical, I'll do speech. Was it like a little bit hard to give that up?
No, exactly what you said. Choice B. I didn't really know myself at the time. Like, I was what, 18, 19,
right,
you know,
right.
Like I didn't really know myself at the time. I felt like I had like, you know, I was working since I was 12 years old, doing just any job that, you know, mother's helper in camp. And then as I got older, like working in a business, whatever, a secretary, this, that, whatever I could find. Like, I just would, you know, always work. And I
was
like
that
to
out of, was that out of need or because you just liked working and making your own money and independent?
I think a combination of both. Like, I didn't want to rely on anyone, and I wanted to just be able to buy whatever I wanted when I wanted to. I didn't want to have to ask my parents and them say, oh, maybe not now, maybe, you know. I would just wanted to say like, I have money, like I could just do what I want, you know.
Are you the oldest?
No, second to youngest.
Got it.
So I just, I don't know, I felt it inside that I wanted to do business. But when I was convinced otherwise, I was like, okay,
right,
I won't do business, I'll just do speech. Yeah, it's more practical. Yeah, I could do it part-time also and have a family and make a lot of money, you know, like I'll
right.
just make a lot of money right away,
right,
things like that.
It doesn't sound really like you're like a creative, like a floaty type. It sounds like you also have a very practical side.
100%. Yeah.
Okay.
And that though also came more with age, I would say. Like, I probably was a little bit more floaty when I was younger, but you know, as you get older and get more mature and wiser and experienced in life, I became more, I would say, grounded.
Hello, everybody. I am so excited to tell you that the Get Into It with Gila podcast is sponsored by OKClarity.com. OKClarity.com is the place for any Jew, no matter how firm or religious you are, to find a top-notch therapist, psychiatrist, coach, or dietitian, and it's completely free for you to use. OKClarity.com's professionals are vetted and have extensive experience working with the Jewish community. Yes, you can even find me there. If you're in the market for a therapist, coach, dietitian, psychiatrist, or the like, you want to check them out. If you don't find what you're looking for, they have a service where you complete a short form and they will personally match you, which I think is so, so cool. Important side note, if you are a wellness professional, I highly recommend joining their directory. Their team is amazing and I've received referrals immediately. They also really offer a ton of support. OK Clarity also has an amazing WhatsApp status with over 7,000 obsessed followers, and yes, I am one of them. Their WhatsApp is a free way to improve your mental health, and they post really great humor, so you'll laugh too, which is really, really important for our mental health, right? If you have WhatsApp, shoot them a message at 917-426-1495. Again, that's 917-426-1495. Have a great day.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you started doing speech, and so it sounds like what really motivated you to leave speech was like the like work-life balance. But while you were doing 100%. Speech, were you satisfied? Before it became unbearable, were you like, this is great, this is cool, this is...
Yeah, I was satisfied with the job, like with what I was doing. I was helping people. I felt like it was fulfilling. It was a fulfilling job. I saw a lot of progress in the children that I treated, but there was that life work balance that was just, I think even from the beginning, like even just from the beginning, even when I didn't have so many kids, even just taking care of one kid or my house or, you know, like there was just that missing piece of work-life balance totally. That wasn't
there. Totally. Yeah. So that was like at the 10-year mark when you were pregnant with your third.
When I was pregnant with my third, that's when I had enough. Like the work-life balance, the thing that was bothering me was throughout the years. But then by the it time peaked. I had my third, it peaked. Exactly. Well, I'll tell you, honestly, with my second child, I had a lot of very incompetent babysitters. And I that Don't was me. All? That's really what did it. Yeah. Really what did it. I said, I'm a mom first. You know, I mean, it's nice that I have a job, but I'm really a mom first. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me these children. I have to take care of them. I can't just leave them with incompetent babysitters. I have to find a way to take care of this next child, you know, fully.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It's interesting because when I was, when I had only two kids and I was working in the nursing home and I actually hated it, it was not fulfilling for me, but like you have that like real responsible side where you're like you said, you give it your all, like I gave it my all, my everything. And like, I like that's almost a fault, you know? And then I remember we had a babysitter for like a few weeks who was like horrible, horrendous, but like really bad, like didn't even tell me when my son was like so limp because he was sick. And like, she would just like do really weird things. She would do weird things.
I had to take my daughter to the hospital. She became dehydrated. Yes, I had that. Yes. That was like the last, I totally understand what you're saying. Yes, yeah. 100%.
A few other things, but that was like the worst. And I was sharing with somebody else. So it was like me, my husband, her husband, we were like all trying to figure it out. And I said, I'm sorry, but she cannot come back tomorrow. And I can't go to work tomorrow knowing that my baby's in an unsafe place. I'll have to quit. I kind of like shifted the other woman out of it too. Like, she's like, you're right. Like, yeah, we have jobs, we have responsibilities, we need to pay the bills, but like it doesn't matter because we have to keep our kids safe. So
I'll tell you what I did at that point. By the way, I called my mother crying, and my parents lived in Israel at the time, and I begged her to come home, to come back and watch my kid until the end of the school year. And so she did.
Oh wow.
She did. She came from Israel, she watched my kid until the end of my school year, and then I essentially told them that I wasn't coming back. Wow. And I just did, but I didn't quit speech at that time.
Mm-hmm. Got it. You just pivoted to a different job.
Exactly. No, I'm saying I pivoted to a different speech job.
Got it. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I totally get that where you're just like, and also like, I feel like I still know a lot of working moms in our community. And I know that feeling of like, what's going to be when there's no camp or school. And I have no more vacation days. Like, it's just like this endless pit of like, how am I going to keep doing this? Right.
So I'll tell you, I had that feeling every single Yontif, every single Arab Yontif, every single day when my kids had school and didn't have school and I had work.
I know.
Anytime somebody was sick in the morning and I would have to call them and get, you know, like blasted by the boss, or, you know, be like, you can't come late, or okay, docking your pay because you're late, whatever it was. And it would make me feel ill. I wouldn't want to, because of that, I didn't want to go to work in the morning.
I totally get it. I know.
I just didn't.
Oh, wow. I so get what you're saying. Yeah, I get it. It's like unbearable. At a certain point, you're just like, this is unbearable. So now I just want to understand the transition. So I think we've spoken about this before, but are you like naturally into fashion? Is that like a calling of yours? Has it ever been a calling?
Okay, so I'm definitely into fashion, but I would say that for most people that are in the fashion industry, I'm like down there, meaning mm-hmm. it's not my priority. It's not like the passion of my life. I like it. You know what I'm saying? I like fashion, but it's not, and I like looking good, and I like helping other people look good. And I like the element of tsnias even more than I like fashion.
Yes, I totally get that.
You know what I mean? Because it's more of a spiritual.
I know exactly what you're saying, and who's ever listening, and you, like, I interviewed my friend Miriam Marciano, who is also a speech therapist.
Of course I know Miriam.
Yeah.
We did Harmony together, and we've spoken about fashion together, and
yes.
It was interesting. We were actually supposed to do, yes, we have the same speech background.
Yes.
We were supposed to do a collab together at one point, but then she pivoted her business. But yes, of course I know her. Yeah, so we were talking to her. And
so I interviewed her on this podcast, and we were talking about how she also was doing fashion, making her own clothes, and being a personal shopper. And she said that like she's such a spiritual person, and mm-hmm. I'm sure you're also, and like, people might look at somebody who's very into fashion and very well dressed and think like that person's so materialistic, but it's like the opposite. It's like, it's the same thing with food, right? It's like using the strength of like clothing and beauty to like elevate the mitzvah of tznias. It's like,
and that's really,
tznias.
Kilo, that's really where it's at. Like, I feel like fashion and clothing, they're really nothing. They're really honestly meaningful if there's no spiritual backing behind it. Because what is it already? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I feel like if I were to be completely obsessed with fashion and that was my essence, I don't think that would really bring me happiness
for sure.
Or fulfillment in the world.
100%. And I feel the same way with like food and nutrition. Like, I love food. I love talking about food. I love cooking food. I love nurturing people with food. But if it's just about food, then I understand why people think it's like gluttonous or like totally physical, even though of course it's not. The way that we stay alive is by feeding ourselves, you know, the food connects to our soul and our body. But it's interesting because you could look at those things as so physical, but they really like stem from spirituality.
Right. 100%. And I feel like, honestly, just on that topic, it's interesting how when I started my business, I wasn't really looking at it from a spiritual standpoint. I was looking at it as, like we said before, being able to create that balance, work-life balance, and just bringing in money.
Right.
But I think after a while, like, my mind then shifted to, what is this business really?
Right.
And I think that really when that happened, and when I did a little self-introspection, because I realized that when I was working as a speech language pathologist and really helping people and really getting children who couldn't speak at all to actually communicate with their parents or their loved ones or, you know, get their needs met, it really changed their lives. It really affected their lives in such a positive way. And I said, how could I then transfer that feeling and that actual thing into this field? And I realized that, and that's when I created the Dressing Without the Drama series. And I started putting out these reels and funny videos about, there's so much emotional baggage or emotional stuff that comes along with getting dressed that I just realized after seeing customers over and over again and the same scenarios play itself out. And I realized I could really help like mother and daughter bonds in a healthier way. I could really help girls feel positive about
you helped us. I came in.
Just, you know, women and girls and especially tweens who are really going through an awkward transitional period, feel good about themselves, feel good about their bodies, feel good about dressing tsniastically. And it took my business in my brain, especially, but also like actually my business like exploded. I created my website. So many people were drawn to me because they realized that I really care. I really care to help. I'm not just like, okay, try, you know, yeah, it looks good, next, you know.
Right.
And so interesting, because I actually had customers that came from just literally random places, like, oh, I'm here from California visiting my cousin, but I saw your video on, and I'm like, oh, that is totally me. I asked my mother to take me here. Or a mom that says, you know, I felt so like just down about how when I would go shopping with my daughter, we were so unsuccessful. I saw your video and made me really want to come here, because I realized that you really get it. You really could help us out, you know, things like that.
That's beautiful. That's so beautiful.
Thank God. Yeah, I really feel so good about that. Like, I feel like I'm such a conduit for, like, I'm just this messenger that Akash Baruch Hu put me in that spot to just be able to help, like, a community of people that really otherwise just sometimes really feel bad about themselves.
Yeah.
Really feel bad about SNEAS.
Yeah.
You know, which is really sad to think about.
So sad. I love what you're saying. I like to know the whole story. So basically, we'll go back to the shells for a second with your husband, walking down Main Street, everyone's wearing a shell. So in that case, you weren't like, oh, I like fashion, I'll do fashion. It was much more practical. Like, people need shells and they need good shells, and I need to make money.
Right.
And
100%. The business was not a fashion business in the beginning. It was just shells, hosiery, things that people needed for its niche, but very practical, basic things.
And did you know that
fashion
you could make
came
money?
Later.
Did you know that, like, that was profitable though? Like, that you would sell enough, that you would,
I mean, listen, honestly, when you start your own business, you don't know anything for sure.
Right.
I just knew that it was a hot product.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Of course, I don't know. It's like up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, what I just do what I have to do, you know, do put in my hashadlos, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the rest. Like, that's it. You know,
when you started, were you like, oh, wow, I'm way over my head? Or you were just like, I got this?
I never really think like that.
I'm so jealous. I'm sorry.
It's just not my mindset. Like, I don't really.
That's where we differ.
I think honestly, like, only later in life, I guess when I started really thinking about things and just hearing, like, so many other people's perspectives, did I start to get nervous about things. But otherwise, my personality is like, I just don't get nervous about things. I just
optimistic.
Kinda, like, go with the flow. Yeah. I always think that everything will turn out good.
Wow.
And I just go with the flow. And even when things don't turn out good, like, I just, you know, get back up after that, try something else, and that's it. And the truth is that what has helped me a lot with that balance, and with, even though I told you I'm originally wired like that, but what has helped me a lot is just learning Emuna and Bitachon. I'm part of a podcast, and it's not a podcast, I'm sorry, it's a WhatsApp chat called Emuna for Non-Rebbetzins.
Yes,
I know. Esther Kurtz. Helped me tremendously. I mean, I wrote her about this, but really, especially being an entrepreneur, that it has helped me tremendously, because you can get down when business is not working out as you wish, or, you know, you have certain expenses because you're from household to pay at a certain time, and that profit is not coming at that time, or whatever it is, like, to really think, or, you know, your competition, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Just to really let go and let HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is always in control, but just let your mind realize that Hashem is in control and that you're really not. It really has helped me tremendously with not worrying even more.
Right.
So working on that, working on Bitachon in general, just really, you know.
Yeah. They say that entrepreneurs, like, really have, like, they really need to work on their Emunah and Bitachon, because you don't know. You just don't know how much money you're going to make that month. And, like, when you have a salary, yeah, you could cap out, but you know you have a salary, you know, even though you really don't know, because anything could happen. But it's like that.
But it looks like it appears more as if you have a salary, you know, when you're
right,
working
exactly.
For someone. But I'll tell you, honestly, I do have a little bit of a one-up than some other people on the Emunah and Bitachon. Full disclosure, my mother's Sephardi.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
I should say I come from a, like, mixed marriage, you know, Sephardi Ashkenaz. And that is, like, most Sephardim in general, just really have that. It doesn't matter what level of observance they have religiously. They just have that close connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that Emunah and Bitachon always. So that was, like, really fed to me, my baby food.
That's amazing.
And yeah, So, you know, I initially started off one up, and then to keep on working on it has really helped me a lot.
Okay, that's amazing. Good advice. Actually, just funny, I told that to a client last night because sometimes like we identify the triggers of emotional eating. And like hers was really just like a feeling of stuck. Like when I don't know what to do, like, and I can't figure it out, I feel so stuck, then I eat, right? And I was like, so I was talking about, you know, changing environment, calling a friend, like what has worked for you? What are you willing to try? And I said, like, maybe that, she's like, yeah, that's just what I really struggle with. I'm like, maybe that's a really good thing to do, like proactively to work on your own mental health, on that, like you're never really in control, you know?
Right. And also to just dive in.
Right.
Honestly, like meaning like, let's say that client of yours that's stuck. And whenever you're stuck, I also feel stuck sometimes, you know, everyone does. To just dive in. I dive in about everything before I meet my wholesalers, or let's say I'm going to a trade show or anything. I literally take a few minutes and I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please let me find the things that are only really tznius, like truly tznius, not like borderline or whatever, that are truly pretty, that people will like, that will sell, you know, like I dive into Hashem every step of the way.
Wow. That's amazing. Okay, so let's go back to the shells for a second. So how did you know how to make a shell, though? Like, how did you know how to go from this shell's pilly to this will be a better quality shell?
So honestly, I feel like I don't really want the conversation to go in that direction because it's just, I don't think that it's probably going to lead to, these are just like practical little details.
You figured it out.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
So it's not going to be like the most beneficial to your audience.
Okay, okay. Got it. So basically you started selling the shells and that was it. People took them, they loved them, and then you took off.
Yes.
And then how did it transition into like, now I sell modest clothes? Did you just get like really passionate about it as you saw, like, I'm helping people dress in this anyways via the shell, so now I just want to help people dress in this entirely?
Yeah, that's really what it was. And then, you know, I saw things also that just, I felt like were so pretty and that I really could give to the world to just help them feel good about themselves. And really that's how it, and also in addition, the practical side of me said, I have four girls,
right. You know? Right.
Right. I could dress my daughters. And that was really helpful in a lot of ways too, because there is a struggle sometimes when you're going to, okay, first of all, if you're going to non-Jewish stores, you know, just to sit through and find the things that are really tznius. And then if you're going to the from stores, sometimes also there's a little bit of that. And there's the price range thing. Like I knew that I always wanted to keep my things like within a certain price range. So for my own girls, like that was really helpful for me to always have things that were within my price range, that were truly tznius, that I felt like, you know, and then I could also, it could spill over to the community at large.
Right. So it's like tznius, actually pretty and normal price range. That's what you're trying to.
That was for sure my goal. Yeah. 100%.
Okay. So now
I found a need for that also, because meaning I found like a lot of tznius clothing was really overpriced. So, which I think that hopefully, Mirtasha and like the from fashion world will shift in the right direction. And I do get the back end more though, also of why there's like, we call it inflated prices, but not necessarily really inflated, because wholesale is very expensive and marketing is expensive and all these other things. So I understand. I don't feel as bad like when I see certain prices and I'm like, you know, I don't get sticker shock anymore so much.
Because, right.
I understand the back end of it. Yeah.
Right. If you're renting a store on Central Avenue and you have that like inventory and you can't, you can't compete with Amazon. So like you have to pay for like whatever shipping back and forth. I don't really know. It's like such a small industry.
Yeah.
Comparatively.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't really view it like that anymore. I totally get it. And I'm willing to spend, like, if, you know, like, especially for myself, I don't always get all my clothes in my, you know, my own clothes in my store, because it's really for younger. And I'm willing to spend, you know, if it's a really nice thing, I'm willing to spend. There was one thing that I really do want to talk about that I think would be really beneficial for your audience. And especially because you discuss a lot of like balance and self-care and things like that. It's going to sound funny because I am a business owner, but I am also a minimalist at heart. And I do feel like often people, especially before camp or things like that, like people just feel like, I need, I need, I need, like, I need so much, you know? And I feel like that type of mindset is really harmful. I think that sometimes we have to look at what we have. We have to repurpose and reuse. We have to not think of something on sale as like rotten or spoiled. And it's interesting, I actually had that messaging on my website about how it's not sale things, things from last season. It's not perishable, you know, unless it's like so dated, like it's such a style that's like really like, you know, like not in, and you're going to feel uncomfortable. Excuse me. A lot of the, especially basics that just are in for a couple seasons or even a year or two, it's okay to get things on sale. Like, and it's okay to not have so much of everything all the time. I think that it's actually a healthier mindset. I think that when you buy a few things and you love them, then you don't feel like you have to manage baggage all the time. You have to always like keep on washing a million things and organizing things in your closet. And I think that it just keeps your mind more focused. It keeps you feeling lighter, and you're never going to open your closet and say, I have nothing to wear, because you really were mindful in what you bought, in what went in your house, what went in your closet. And this is going along the lines of being mindful about what you eat, right? That's, you know, something that you do in your field. And so being mindful about what you buy. And I do see definitely a wide range of customers that come to my store, some of which are real consumers. I'm not going to say I don't like that. I mean, no, it's great for me. It's great for my business, but just speaking from a deeper point of view, I think that's something that if we worked on, and I think that there's definitely, because we have an abundance of choices, because we see a lot of people have a lot, and because often a lot of us have large houses, or definitely larger than, like, let's say somewhere in Israel where people have apartments and they just don't have anywhere to put, they don't have such a thing called a Costco closet. It's a foreign concept. They don't get mail that's like a pile like this every single day. They don't have the trees to be able to create that.
Right.
You know, so it's a mindset of just not feeling like lacking, but feeling like, wow, I really was mindful in what I bought, and I have everything I need.
Right. It's so true. It's really, really true. Yeah, I've actually hired organizers to help me, and they've told me like, why do you have this? I'm like, I don't know. One day I'll use it. Or like, I was definitely in the mentality of like buy things on sale that I didn't love, but then I wouldn't wear them anyways. And it's like, I'm not always 100% great at this, but like, I just feel like, you know, spend $200 on the dress that you love and you'll wear like every Yontif once a month on Shabbos, as opposed to like the $40 dress that you'll never wear. And it's kind of just wasting $40, you know?
100%, by the way. And sometimes you could buy the $40 dress that you will wear, but as long as you look at that thing and not like, often when you look in the mirror, put something on and you think you have like tinies already, like, I like it, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like that's already like, no,
take it off.
When in doubt, do without, you know what I mean? Like, and I always tell moms that, like, when they try to convince their kids, like, you know, oh no, it really looks good. You'll like it. You'll wear it. Oh, it's a little bit itchy, but it feels a little tight over here, whatever. I say then, don't convince her. She's never going to pick that out of her closet. Never. That's never going to be the thing that she's like, wow, I want to wear this. It has to, often the passion, you could see it right away. You put it on and you see like somebody's eyes light up. You know that they like it. They don't have to figure out ways for it to fit just because it's on sale, or just because, you know, they can't find anything else or whatever. And it doesn't have to be a million things. They'll find a few things that look really good.
Yeah.
And then they'll wear them and they'll be happy. They'll be satisfied with it. They'll be balanced.
Right.
Carry baggage.
I am trying to compare this with food and clothes. It's interesting just because we live in an abundant world. So like, we do buy a lot, have a lot, spend a lot, and then have a lot of junk around. Right. We don't know what
and
to
we
do.
Don't have to. We don't have to. And honestly, I'll tell you, so I actually had my own personal health journey. I don't know if you followed. So also, when I originally had my original Instagram account at Modest Necessities, before it got hacked, it was like at about 5K. And then I started the new one at Modest Necessities, dotcom.com. But I had so much more stuff going on. I was very invested in Instagram at the time. And that was also before I worked on my Emunah. Like I was thinking like, okay, Instagram is going to get me like, you know, everything I
Totally.
need, all the business
Totally.
that I need and everything.
Yeah.
Instagram is the hottest thing.
Yep.
I think that that was a blessing for me actually, when that element of it, obviously it's still upsetting, but the element of getting hacked was a blessing for me because it made me realize like, no, really, Instagram is not what's making your business successful. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, turn to Hashem, that's it. But anyways, my point was that I really lost my train of thought. Hold on.
You were talking about your health journey, but I'm just gonna say, because we said we were like, you know, like I don't talk about like intentional weight loss and like putting people on diets, right?
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Okay,
for sure.
Okay, yeah.
So it's interesting because the health journey was just about being mindful. Like that's really what it was. I connected with a coach. I would say she's like she's a trainer, a personal trainer and health coach in Israel. And I'm just trying to think of what her name is, because why not do a shout out at Hannah? I know her name is Hannah Kugelman, but her at okay, I'm gonna think about it in a minute. But
okay, we'll put it in the show
Hannah,
notes.
Yeah, shout out to Hannah Kugelman. She changed my life. She really helped me so much. Because I never really grew up with that mindset of just being mindful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, like in general, really. I mean, obviously, like in Yiddishkeit, we had that concept forever ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kavana, like you're not Yotzei unless you have the Kavana, right? And now it's like a new buzzword, like mindfulness, mindfulness.
Thank you all so much for being here on my podcast, Get Into It with Gila.
If you'd like to learn more about what I do and what intuitive eating is, please visit my website at www.gilaglassberg.com or follow me on Instagram at Gila Glassberg. Thank you so much. Have a great day.